Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 282, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We're here live in living color. Get funky like a monkey. If you will. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Let's have some fun. Without further ado, we got Vince Russo that's going to be joining us here shortly. But let's get right into the show, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, the co-host, Under the Mat Radio, Evan Tech. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm here, brother.
Friendly
like a monkey on the mothership.
That's right. Live on another ship.
The bula, the creepy grass, and the dusty rose. I can say like dusty and Booker T all day long.
Talk like dust, a little bit of dusty, a little bit of Booker T dog.
And in his business, the Jews and his noodle in his business in my cacao. Going out random things that is so obvious.
Shucky ducky, quack, quack.
I mean, Cole, Rangers has him in a headlock, cinching it tight. Like, we can see that Booker T. Got a little book, though. Book's good people to me. Him and Steve Ray.
I'll tell you what, man. I love Booker T's commentary because it's different, man. It's not the same commentary that you get, all the time. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing with Booker T's commentary. As far as my view on it, it's one of those things that, whatever you feel about it, it's different. It's not the same, and it's like it's a different type of feel, for Booker T to be on there. We have Byron Saxton. It was just a cookie cutter, type of feel. It's one of those things that I wasn't a big fan, of just that cookie cutter. And I think he definitely gives it a different feel to it.
Yeah, I agree. You got to have something different. I mean, nothing against Corey Graves, That is like Booker from the show Off the Wall.
Yeah,
you got to get something different. It's the motto of like him. Even my buddy
Mamma Mia!
And it's the way he yells things out too. It's like, oh, well, what a shape last. It's like, you know, so much emphasis on like the smallest things, but that's what it is. It's just, I love Off the Wall commentaries like Don West, like, the pay light, you gotta be kidding. All he did was an apple, but Don West would hype it up like it was a tennis move.
Yes.
Like that. That is Mike Tenay, or even, I was going to say Justin Roberts, what's the guys, Jeremy Borash, and the other guys he's facing, Global Force.
Josh Matthews.
Formerly known as, oh, as TNA, Al Anthem. When they were kind of going back and forth, you know, just little stuff like that. I don't like the cookie cutter reading dialogue or teleprompter type style. You got to have someone, of course, you got to have the Cole. You got to have Michael Cole, who's been there forever. So you got to have someone to be the straight man. You get that.
Right.
You got to have color, somebody that's just different. I mean, Punk, I'm not the biggest Punk fan, but I mean, Punk did a good job of commentary.
He did. Got to give credit where credit is due. CM Punk was certainly a good commentator. I got to give it to him. Miz was actually pretty decent too. When he was on there, and Alex Riley, when he was in NXT, I think he did pretty good.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. I think they. I know that Riley wanted to, you know, wrestle, but. You know, I would have stayed as a commentator until they had something, you know. So, Javier, what's up, calling from San Antonio. So, good stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get to the headlines before we get Vince Russo on here. Here we go. All right, so speculation of why Baron Corbin's push was halted. There was some talks as far as just Wrestle Observer, and Dave Meltzer was talking about live audio wrestling as far as just wars and the backstage heat that he had with the wrestlers, his Twitter wars with the fans. You know, here's my deal with Baron Corbin. I like Corbin. When I was at WrestleMania, I was talking to someone that was next to me, and I was explaining that the reason why I like Baron Corbin, someone like Baron Corbin, is because he is a good heel. He's so good of who he is. Like he's so good. He's so bad that he's likable to me. Not because I like want him to win per se or want him to win so many matches. It's because he plays his character so well. And I think that that's my biggest thing with Corbin. And the thing is, it's like if he plays the heel, he plays a real good heel on Twitter, those are the things that he does. He plays those positions, he plays those things on Twitter. Of course, he got into it with a military vet, which he later apologized. But that's a part of his deal. He lives his character. We got Syracuse in the building. I guess people in WrestleZone is giving shout outs of their city and state. So, keep it going. I'll be like a Shane McMahon, and get that, quick pop. What's up, Des Moines, Iowa? So, keep giving your shout outs.
Des Moines, Iowa reference.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Seth
Rollins is from Davenport. So, what's up from Columbus, Ohio? Hey, that's where I live.
Yeah, that's cheap pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick Foley.
The best city and state in the nation, ladies and gentlemen. Columbus, Ohio.
I disagree, brother.
Ah.
I disagree. You know.
Yeah, you might disagree.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Nah, you might disagree, but it doesn't matter where you're from.
You're not from Cleveland, so.
Yeah.
I give you that. Columbus, Cleveland.
We got Clearwater, Florida. Keep giving the shout outs out. We got the entire globe listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show right now. All right, Baron Corbin's look. That's the thing. You know, with Corbin, I like him. You know, a lot of people saying, you know, I got a comment here on WrestleZone saying the WrestleZone Facebook Live saying that his look was boring. His look wasn't, it wasn't the best look, as far as just like a larger than life type of monster heel, but he played that real smug type of look. And, and we got Corbin's new interest. We got a lot. Mid-Village Queens, good stuff. Got a comment saying Corbin's new look is new entrance music is better now. I agree. His whole entrance period is better. So they're happening. They're happening to see something. They're giving some type of push, kind of, but it seemed like that world title push just kind of halted, and it just wasn't no good.
Well, I'm kind of indifferent with the themes. I like the first theme, but I kind of like I could go either way. I did like his original theme. I do like his new theme too. But I kind of like the city going to black, like the
I like
brand
that too.
That he originally had.
Yep.
I used to like that because nothing is wrong with what he has now. I just think the whole fate of that whole city just goes into darkness. I think that was more effective. Me being having one of my degrees in art, I kind of look at those subtleties. But if they're to be, gives you theme music and gives you graphics now and graphics and all of this, they got to be something behind you. So I like the look. This looks unique, kind of like post-apocalyptic slash biker slash like the Warriors. Mad Max, kind of Walking Dead or V Nation. He kind of has his own fusion of a look where he just looks totally different from anybody in WWE, which you can't say now because everybody kind of looks cookie cutter. And shout out to me to put on our what we call the trailer list here. You know, those that who we haven't seen in a while, who's Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, his career definitely needs prayer because he's
came back on SmackDown just to cut just the most randomest ridiculous promo.
It was
terrible. I got some comments here. Number to call. We will be doing call-ins tonight. Open some time. Give us about half an hour. Got Russo coming on the show here in a bit. And after that, we're going to do a little bit more, and then after that. So there's some talks. It's saying a big cast is out for a year. Got to get that verified. That's crazy. Got a comment asking, when am I coming to San Antonio? You know, I'm glad that you asked that, Javier. I definitely want to start taking the show on the road. We've been doing the show for almost 5.5 years now. Some great episodes, great interviews every week, and just some fantastic support as what's going on right now. So that's great. Keep keep viewing the show, and we'll get you on that for sure. John says torn ACL meniscus, so he's out for a year. Man, oh man, cast. That was the he got bit, ladies and gentlemen. He got bit by the injury bug. That's unfortunate. If those sources are valid, I'm not on the site right now. I'm live on Facebook. That's really tough. Speaking of injury, Daniel Bryan was just recently on the ENC podcast, and he was talking about how, you know, he still wants to be an in-ring performer. He had he was supposed to be having like 120 tests through this doctor that he's working with, and then He said he has like 80 more tests left, and then, you know, the test will make him seem like he never had any type of impact at all, which is good. And his hope is to get cleared in the next year or so. So, you know, and if the, you know, even Bree said if WWE doesn't clear him, you know, he can go elsewhere. I just don't see Daniel Bryan in Impact. I don't see it.
You know, somehow.
Yeah, we've had that talk before as far as I got a question. Do I think that they'll ever clear Bryan? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that there's so, you know, right now Daniel Bryan, unfortunately, is as amazing as he is as a competitor, he's a liability to WWE from an in-ring standpoint. Now, he's still an asset from, you know, his namesake, his brand, you know, his role as a GM. He's still doing things in WWE that still, you know, counts. But he's a liability from an in-ring standpoint. So I don't think that they'll clear him. And so I don't think that he'll go to Impact. I don't think so at all. I think that he'll go to ROH. I don't think that he'll fall over to Japan. Daniel Bryan in New Japan would be fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Daniel Bryan versus – listen. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. Daniel Bryan versus Kazuchika Okada. Oh, here's my buddy, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
here is my money. Yeah. He absolutely fantastic.
This is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Daniel isn't going to Impact, our Anthem, TNA, Global Force. He's going back home to ROH. ROH, of course, their viewership, their revenue will go up because Daniel will be coming back home. He bought two tours, like two or three pay-per-views there, and he'll do a couple of stints in Japan. We got him against Okada. They could do like Okada Omega did. They had the three matches, which were great. Bryan and Okada could do a three-match program. In between that, he could do it against Tanahashi. And within that, of course, he can go against Omega. He'll make tons of money that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Daniel Bryan against Kenny Omega, too, would be fantastic. I got a question here from WrestleZone Facebook Live here. It says, does Daniel Bryan go to New Japan and join the Bullet Club? No.
Better chance to go to Global Force.
Absolutely no. I cannot say no. As a matter of fact, this gets this right here. Absolutely no, Daniel Bryan does not go to the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club is so someone asks why not? And here's the thing, he doesn't go to the Bullet Club because he doesn't need the Bullet Club. Get a bit oversaturated with the Bullet Club, you know, and it's one of those things that I think that it helps Cody because Cody kind of needed an identity, especially going away from Stardust. But as far as just, you know, the Young Bucks and, you know, Tonga Loa, Tama Tonga, Takahashi, you know, Marty Scurll, you know, don't. They're kind of their whole thing in, you know, their circle. But at the same time, it's one of those things like, not so much. But let's get this Q&A started, ladies and gentlemen. Vince Russo on the show. How are you tonight, sir?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Vinny Ru.
Fantastic. Doing fantastic. It's great to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks a lot, man. I'm a little wrestled out over the last 3 days what was it, 4, 7, 9 hours of wrestling over the last 3 days?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So what would you grade all of those hours of wrestling as a whole? If you put them in one big pot, what would you grade it?
Hey, bro, I'm telling you, I said it on my show tonight, and I know I'm very critical, you know, from a writing aspect. You know, I mean, I'm not one to criticize work or anything like that because I'm not a wrestler, and I don't think I have the right to criticize work. I think I have the right to criticize writing and creative because I did it for so long. But
yeah,
with that being said, man, from last Monday's Raw to SmackDown to this Monday's Raw, I honestly believe, I think the WWE is turning a corner. And I mean,
yep,
I've said that before, but I really believe that now. I don't know what happened. I don't know if a change was made. I don't know if Vince McMahon tapped out. I don't know what happened. Seems to me like they're turning some kind of a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I think that they're turning the corner as well. So a great assessment. So we got a slew of questions here ready for you. Let's start with your favorite breakfast food.
God, I have an omelet. I have an omelet for breakfast just about every day. So I would say just a healthy omelet.
Healthy omelet. What's in the omelet?
Usually mushrooms, spinach, cheese, that type of thing.
Oh, okay. So that is a healthy omelet. Yeah, definitely spinach. Yeah. Your thoughts on the WWE main roster today versus NXT? You don't watch NXT much, right?
I don't watch NXT at all. So like I couldn't tell you that because I'm not. I tried watching it. You know. Probably about 5 or 6 times. I just wasn't a fan of it, so I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what was it that caused you to stop watching? What caused the disconnect?
I'll be honest. I mean, and I'm going to get heat from your crowd, but that's fine. I'm just being honest. The crowd was obnoxious. I couldn't stand listening to the crowd, and the crowd was so obnoxious that I did not enjoy watching the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
I mean, and there are people that disagree with that, and that's fine. I mean, there are people that love NXT, and that's great. But I'm just mm-hmm. saying, you know, to me personally, that crowd just drove me nuts.
Yeah, so do you believe that with, like, the super marquee crowds like Brooklyn?
Wait, what's the question?
Do you believe, like, is that the same concept as far as, like, you know, marquee crowds
again,
Brooklyn?
Again, this may not be a popular vote. And, you know, I mean, I was never one to, you know, say things to become popular. You know, I mean, I'm honest. That whole reception to Reigns and Cena, you know, I mean, to me, like, that's embarrassing. I mean,
yeah,
that is such a total disrespect to these guys that are going out there and busting their ass and putting their bodies on the line and making all kinds of sacrifices. And, you know, I mean, they're not cheering, you know, they're not booing them because they're heels. They're booing them because they don't like the way they're booked, because they don't, you know, they don't fit the super mark mode.
Right.
A mole, I'm sorry. And to me, that is so disrespectful. And hey, bro, I was born in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my people. But I'm just telling you how I felt watching the show.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those crowds want to put themselves over, and that's the only thing they care about. So
yep,
that's unfortunate. Yeah, definitely.
It is.
Yeah. All right, so here's some questions for you. There's a lot. What's your favorite moment in WCW?
When it went out of business.
When it went out of business.
And
oh,
I didn't have
man.
To work there, and I didn't have to work there anymore.
Oh, so you were at WCW to the very end?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. That's the thing with people about, you know, oh, I killed WCW and this and that. I only wrote for WCW for 9 months, and I was nowhere near WCW like the last 3 months they were in existence. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't there at the end. I didn't even watch that last show. But that's the shoot, bro. My best moment was when it was over.
It was a huge unfortunate downturn for sure. Do you think Hulk Hogan will be back in the WWE?
I think he should be, bro. I mean, come on, man. People make mistakes. I mean, you know, he made a mistake. He admitted to making a mistake. He apologized for his mistake. I mean, outside of that, I don't know what else he could do. You know, I'm a person that I just believe in forgiveness. And, you know, we all screw up and we all make mistakes and we all say things we shouldn't have said. And, you know, I mean, Hulk apologized. I think Hulk, you know, paid his penance. But I'm just the guy that believes in forgiveness. That's all.
Yeah. Who is your favorite wrestler today?
Oh, I mean, bro, there are a lot of people. I don't like the creative. That's what I don't like. As far as the talent goes, there are a lot of people I really, really, really like. You know, I guess, you know, like I always go back to Bray, bro, because, you know, he is one of the guys I would give anything to be able to write for Bray Wyatt, because the guy is so good and the guy is so talented. He should be at Undertaker status right now. But they have dropped the ball with that poor guy so many times. I just think he is one of the most talented performers, you know, literally over the last 20 years.
Would you make him a babyface?
Probably not. But that's the thing, you know, they want to portray him as the scary guy and, you know, the eater of souls, and all he does is go out there and lose. So, you know, I mean, he loses all credibility because at the end of the day, there's nothing to be afraid of because he doesn't back up what he's saying.
Yeah.
So, he should be a great heel, but it has nothing to do with him. It's just the situations they put him in.
Yet it always puzzles me because since Bray has been there, he's feuded with Taker, Kane, Cena, Orton, Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, Randy Orton. And it's like you've got seven world champions right there and Hall of Famers, you know, soon to be Hall of Famers. Cena as well. There's eight. So you have eight world champions, eight of the greatest talents in the history of the WWE. That he's feuded with since he's been in WWE. And to me, he hasn't elevated hardly any, if any, you know, since he's came. He maybe even went down in stock, you know, in the past few years. So you're right. I mean, I don't think it's a Bray thing because he does the best that he can, you know, with this particular promos. They can get a little spazzed out a little bit, but, you know, I think that he really lives his character. He really hones in his character. But WWE is not necessarily a character-driven, you know, promotion nowadays, which is one of their biggest downfalls.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, a lot of booking they do is 50-50 booking. And I'm sorry, man. You're not going to get anybody over with 50-50 booking. You're just not.
Absolutely not. I got another bunch of questions here. Got a few of them left. I know you don't have much time. I know you are tired out and just got finished recording your show not too long ago. How would you book Big Cass to return? So there's some reports that he had a torn meniscus. And he's going to be out for up to a year. So,
that's terrible news. That's a shame, bro. I mean, it really was because they had him in a good spot. It was starting to click. you know, man, you got to give that kid all the credit in the world because he tried to fight through it. And, man, you could tell, you know, just how pissed off and how disappointed he was. That's terrible, terrible, terrible news for the kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it really is. Let's see. There's a bunch of other questions. How do you feel about Nakamura?
You know, I like. See, here's my problem, and it's just because I'm from the old school. Mm-hmm. I like Nakamura. I'm a fan of Nakamura. He has charisma out the yin yang. He's colorful. He's entertaining. But, you know, to me, you know, I mean, the guy weighs a little bit over 200 pounds. And, you know, when you start putting him in there with some of the bigger guys, it just doesn't come off to me as believable. You know, I mean, like, you know, I always go back to if this were real, because that's how I had to write the show. Like, if this were real, what would legitimately happen? And I mean, I don't see the guy beating like a John Cena, you know, even though he did the job for him on SmackDown. But I don't legitimately see him beating guys the size of Cena or beating guys the size of Jinder Mahal. I don't see him in that role. But I mean, as a performer, I think he's really, really entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they oversaturate him a little bit too much. I think they I think they show us too much of Nakamura. I think that takes away the mystique of him. Because, you know, wrestling is staged, it's choreographed, it's predetermined. We want to create, I always say this, the goal is supposed to suspend reality. And that's you know, to the fans. And I think once you oversaturate someone, it doesn't suspend the reality that much. It takes away the mystique of who they are. And if you keep, you know, what was so good about Nakamura and NXT is we saw the entrance and that was choreographic and just theatric and people were getting to it. But I think it's one of those things that if you see it so much over and over again, every single week.
But you know, you're 100% correct, but that's part of the problem. And that's what a lot of the, you know, a lot of the smart marks don't understand. When you take away the creative and you take away the backstage vignettes and you take away the character, the only thing they're left to do is wrestle.
Right.
And when they wrestle every single week, they're not special anymore. They're just wrestlers. And that's part of the problem. You know, put Nakamura in vignettes, build the guy up, keep him, you know, keep his mystique. But like I said, the fact that they don't creatively do that anymore and the guys just go out and work, well, now they're just wrestlers. And I think that's a huge, huge hole with the WWE right now.
Absolutely, 100%. Totally agree with you. So what are your thoughts on Lesnar's suplex city gimmick? Shouldn't he be doing more than German suplexes is what another question is.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, he's very, very believable. I think that's enough for him to do. But again, I think they hurt him the way they book him. Like, you know, here's a perfect example. You know, Braun Strowman cleans his clock, you know, Monday night on Raw. Well, what happens for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes? You know, like, if I'm writing that show and I'm trying to protect Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar is going to be looking for he's going to be looking for revenge. He's going to be looking for Strowman all night, and you're going to build that story throughout the beginning of the night. I think when you write a show like that, you need a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, they blow that thing off in 10 minutes, and, you know, Lesnar looks like a wimp because he didn't seek revenge. He didn't go back after Strowman. The story was just over. And that's what I mean about, you know, the WWE creative holes. You know, as a writer, you have to protect everybody. And there's just no way that a guy like Lesnar wouldn't have went looking for Strowman after that first segment.
Yeah, that's a good point. You gotta have like a running story, you know, and that's where that was
the success of the Attitude Era. You know, we set the table at the beginning of the show. Something happened in the middle. We blew it off at the end, and you had vignettes and backstage stuff weave that entire story through. They just don't do that anymore.
And had cliffhangers as well.
Exactly. Cliffhangers are a thing of the past.
Yeah, sadly. Speaking of that, in that same vein, another question. How do you feel about Jinder Mahal being champion?
I love him, man. I really do. I'm a huge fan of his. He looks the part. He's very passionate in what he does. But he's another guy, man. I would not book him the way they're booking him. When a guy looks like him, he doesn't need little midgets doing his dirty work. And that's Vince McMahon with his old school. You know, he's a heel. So he's got these two little guys, you know, doing his dirty work so he can cheat and win matches. If Jinder Mahal went out there and beat up people because he can and he looks like he can, the fact that he's a foreigner and he's beating up American after American after American, the guy's going to be a heel. You don't need to do that 1970s nonsense that just doesn't work in 2017. So I'm a huge fan of the guys. I just think they're booking him like crap.
Yeah, I agree. Those Singh brothers are they've helped just about every single one of his matches. And the ones that they don't help, he lost. You know, like the clean one, it was just him and Orton without the Singh brothers. And it was right before SummerSlam, and they had him lose clean against Orton. I'm like, what in the world is that?
Remember when Rollins had the two security guys? Remember when who did he have?
J&J Security, Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury.
Yeah, now I can understand, like, okay, a guy the size of Rollins, okay. Like, that's – I didn't like that either, but that's plausible. You know, a guy the size of Rollins, he's got two other guys. But when you look like Jinder Mahal, you don't need that. And again, that's got Vince's name written all over it. He's doing 1970s baby faces and heels. And in his mind, you know, Jinder is a heel, so he's got to cheat to win. And, I hate that.
Yeah, sadly. I got a couple more questions so we can cap this off here. What is your favorite WWE pay-per-view of all time or show of all time?
The one show?
Yep, one show or pay-per-view.
Tell you, I still have to go all the way back to WrestleMania 3, and that's so generic. But I don't think there was ever a match in the history of the WWE more anticipated than Hogan and Andre. I really don't. I mean, I've been there the whole time, and I don't think there was ever more of an anticipated match than those two. And I think WrestleMania 3, that crowd that they had in Detroit, and, you know, of course you got Savage and Steamboat. It's hard to top that show.
Yeah, but I think because the narrative was so strong back then. I mean, edge of your seat type of suspense.
Absolutely.
You know,
I remember, like, that was probably the only time I had a house full of people to watch that on pay-per-view, and everybody was so into it. And I'm talking about regular people. I'm not talking about, you know, Dave Meltzer's and Wade Keller's. I'm talking about regular people, kids, women. I mean, everybody was just so into that. It was just done so well. I mean, you know, Andre ripping that cross off of Hogan's neck.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was just done so well.
And it was built based on Andre having a 15-year winning streak and him getting a smaller reward than Hogan. I mean, come on now. I mean, that narrative at its best, man. And I'm getting jealous.
Absolutely. And simple.
And Heenan
simple,
coming in
simple.
And manipulating him.
Yep.
It's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. will Jarrett and Anthem keep Impact and GFW relevant?
No. GFW and TNA, whatever you want to call it, has been freaking dead since the days of Hogan and Bischoff.
Mm. Yeah, they're trying their best, but
I don't know if they are trying their best. I'm going to be honest with you, because again, what is different about that show? What are they doing that's different? What are they doing that's innovative? What chances are they taking? They're doing the same old stuff we've seen a million times before. They're playing it safe because they're afraid to try new things. So I'll be honest with you, I don't think they are trying their best. They have an audience of about 300,000 people, and they've had that audience for God knows how long. When we had TNA, you see, that's the thing, too, about Vince Russo. You know how I was a failure everywhere else at the WWE. Meanwhile, we had TNA up to 2 million people a week. That's how many people were watching TNA back in 2010. 2 million people were watching TNA, and now it's down to 300,000. And again, it's not going to change unless they make a change. And if it's going to be the same old, they're going to draw that same old number every single week.
Is that the issue? You think that it's the issue with TNA and, well, GFW and WWE, is that they play to the house too much?
I think they play it safe too much. You know, the Attitude Era was not safe. We didn't know if people were going to accept it or crap on it. We mm-hmm. didn't know. But at that time, like, you know, the WWE was in such a bad position that Vince McMahon had nothing to lose. So, you know, he went with it, and he continued to go with it, and he stuck with it. But you'll find out a lot of times in wrestling, what they always go back to is, what do they know best? What is the formula that works? Well,
yeah.
At the end of the day, there's still a television show. And a formula that might have worked for a television show, you know, in the 80s, doesn't necessarily work for a television show in 2017. We weren't seeing shows like the Game of Thrones in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, if you don't change with the times, and if you don't evolve the business and, you know, just everything about it, and it's, you just keep going back to what wrestling has always been, everybody's passing you by. And I mean, and at the end of the day, there's just better stuff to watch on TV.
Why do they bring Cornette back?
I have no idea. I mean, you'd have to ask Jeff Jarrett that. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you know, do you want to turn back the clock, or do you want to bring wrestling into 2017? I mean, it's really that simple. And that's what I mean about, you know, going with the same familiar faces, going with the same familiar, you know, writing of the show and the same angles and the same baby faces and heels. You know, like I said, TV is just passing the wrestling business by, and
yeah.
That's why you've seen such a fall off from the Attitude Era to, you know, where numbers are today, because, right, you know, there's a niche audience that watches wrestling today. And,
yeah.
you know, back 15 years ago, you had the entire world watching.
Yeah. Great stuff. We're going to put the cap on the questions. Last question for the night. Who would you pick to be the guy to conquer the beast?
Oh, boy. That's tough. Because I like Braun Strowman a lot, and Braun Strowman is very, very, very believable. But I don't know if he's the whole package. If I was running that show right now, if that were me, and I know Vince's guy all along was Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns looks like a movie star, he looks great. Roman Reigns can talk when you don't write him ridiculous promos and verbiage. If it were me, Roman Reigns would be my guy, but the difference would be I would let him naturally react to the crowd.
That's what
I would do, because this crowd is booing him out of the building. And if this were a shoot and Roman Reigns was getting that, you know, that kind of, if the crowd were coming to him that way, he would react a totally different way. But, you know, it's again, in Vince's mind, Roman Reigns is a babyface. So these people are going to boo him out of the building. I mean, they were telling him and Cena, you both stink, you both stink. And because he's a babyface, he's going to stand there and say nothing. If it were me, I'd have Reigns flipping off the crowd. I'd have Reigns telling the crowd what they could do. That's what I would do. You would have such a red-hot heel, and the people would want to kill him. But the problem is, again, in Vince's mind, Roman's a babyface, so he can't talk like that. He can't be like that with the crowd. And Vince McMahon has single-handedly kill Roman Reigns. It's not Roman Reigns' fault. When you look at the bloodlines of the guy and wrestling being in his blood generation after generation after generation, the guy knows what he's doing. The guy knows how to go out there and get over. But if he's not allowed to, then he's going to be in the exact spot that he's in now. That one night, man, when he won that Royal Rumble a couple of years ago in Philly and they booed him out the building, he should have turned around right there and flipped off crowd in Philly, and he would have been off to the races.
I think what helped him, I think he had an opportunity to be just an amazing heel. He retired The Undertaker. Got so much heat in Orlando. I was there live in Orlando. He had so much heat. And then he turns around on that Raw after WrestleMania where he couldn't even get a word out. He just stood there and he was soaking in that heat. And the only thing that he said was, "It's my yard now." And the place erupted. And I said, this is it right here. This is amazing. And then they ruined it by him having some type of crappy sit-down interview just to get attacked by Braun Strowman and beat up. It bothered me much when
again,
he did that.
What that all goes back to is, you know, that is all Vince with baby faces and heels.
Yeah.
The difference in the Attitude Era was, you know, every time I wrote for a character, I put myself in the boots of that character. Like, basically, when I wrote the show, I was like, okay, if this happened to Steve Austin, what would Steve Austin do? What would The Rock do? What would The Undertaker do? Because every character would react differently to the same set of circumstances. So that's what made every character unique and believable. When you've got baby faces and heels, they can only act one of two ways. They're either going to act like a baby face or they're going to act like a heel. There's no shades of gray. And that's how Vince has killed Roman Reigns, because in Vince's mind, Vince wanted him to be the guy. He wanted him to be the baby face, and he hasn't gotten off that gravy train. And in the meantime, he's killed the guy.
Does do you see any recuperation with what he's doing now?
If Vince just lets him go.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. You know, again, like I said earlier, if I'm Vince McMahon and I know the bloodlines of Roman Reigns and wrestling is in his blood, I would feel confident that the guy knows what to do.
Yeah.
Just let him go out there and naturally react. He's not a novice. His family's been doing this his whole entire life. Just freaking take the collar off and take the chains off and let the guy run.
Yeah.
But until Vince does that, he's just going to be wallowing in the middle, and that's just a waste for everybody.
Yeah, sadly. Vince, it's been a pleasure. We're going to put a cap on the questions. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time here tonight with your busy schedule and answering the listeners' questions.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to tell people, too, if you don't mind, I just want to let everybody know, too, I'm on Podcast One.
Yes, please
plug. With Vince Russo's The Brand. Yeah, Monday through Friday, and we have a different show every single day, and it's free on Podcast One. And also, social media-wise, I'm just basically on Twitter all the time, and I answer people all the time at The Vince Russo.
Absolutely. So all the questions I didn't address, go ahead and send them to Vince, and if he has the time in his schedule, he'll answer them.
Absolutely.
Barring there's something crazy that is not even worth responding to.
Yeah, just be guys, just be respectful. I mean, that's all. We all need that, especially with everything going on in the world. We just all need to respect each other, and things would be a lot better.
Even in our disagreements, still respect.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Been a pleasure, Vince. Thanks a lot for your time.
All right, man. Take care.
You too. Vince Russo. Evan, a great Q&A session. Thanks so much for the WrestleZone.com. Bunch of questions. I apologize. There's a lot of questions I didn't address, so we just had to put a cap on it. But let's talk about some SummerSlam, some Raw, some SmackDown. Great Q&A from Vince Russo.
Yeah, this is a great guy. Like I said, we both heard on having him on our respective shows, and I've been on to actually talk to Russo in person about a lot of different things. A lot of people, it is, for some reason he gets a lot of heat, and I don't know why.
He does.
He's a great guy, very cool guy, very funny.
Because he castrates the marks, bro. That's why he gets a lot of heat. Absolutely, man. But yeah, hey, he's fine. He's fine in my book, man. He's I think
he's
him and Cornette, man. There's some things that I can say good. There's some things I can say bad. But hey, listen, Vince Russo, he had no problem with being on my show. He jumped to it, and he was more than willing to do it. So hey, it gets my respect. So kudos to Vince Russo for taking his time out and answering all your questions. Thank you so much, WrestleZone.com, Facebook Live, for all the questions. We still got some SummerSlam. We still got some Raw and SmackDown to talk about. And then the flavor of the week this week is actually going to be called a viewer's choice. So anyone who's listening on live on the podcast or listening or viewing the podcast right now on Facebook Live, let us know just what topic you'd like to talk about. We'll pick one of those topics, or what we'll do is we'll actually have some call-ins here about 5 or so minutes. We'll take a few call-ins. It is a PG show, so please watch the language. So it is a PG show. I will go ahead and put the number on the Facebook Live comments. To call, it is 347-884-8452. Respect the show, respect the brand, and call away. All right, until then, what are your thoughts on SummerSlam, Raw, and SmackDown?
SummerSlam is okay. Kind of let down by it overall, give it about... Because of the main event, give it about a B. The main event I thought was very well. It was mainly about Strowman. Told a great story. Jody and Demont, she didn't have tea. Just put people on, tried to help people out. Main event was great. I thought the Naomi Natty match was very well done. Even though I wanted Naomi to continue to win, I can't understand why she lost. You know, the tag match was fine. Rollins and Ambrose against Cesaro and Sheamus was a pretty good match. Cena against Corbin with this whatever throwaway. Orton and Rusev throwaway. You know, Rusev under the authority inside news. He's on his way out. So there's nothing really say about SummerSlam. So it was decent. The main event definitely delivered. AJ Owens was a good match. Of course, it was Shane. We also call that like a mini triple threat. So, I thought because maybe of the main event and because of the women's match, I give it a B. Minus those two matches, C.
I give it a B minus only because of the main events and the New Day Usos match that was in the pre-show. But as far as the actual show, you know what? I think I'll give it a C plus. I think I'll give it a C plus. Cena and Corbin was just blah to me. Just so it wasn't much hype to that. Natalya and Naomi was a solid match, but Naomi's character as a whole is just not. I mean, there's nothing exciting about Natalya. Her in-ring ability, she's a vet. I respect the heck out of her as far as her tenure is concerned. But just there's nothing worth really in it's nothing worth just really investing in as far as her being a heel, you know. And she doesn't really do many heel things, you know, to really have me invest in her as a villain. So that was just bland. I think Naomi's just red hot as far as just her run is concerned. I think she's definitely one of the most popular, most red hot commodities in the WWE, bar none. That's one of the, you know, I think Naomi and Braun Strowman are the two people that WWE is doing very right with this year. I suppose you can say Alexa Bliss as well, but certainly, Braun Strowman and Naomi, they're doing fantastic with. Orton and Rusev was just a, you know, it was just a
throwaway.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a hiccup. Balor and Wyatt is just, you know, I've had this conversation before, and I've had this comparison with the, like, when Balor puts the paint on, there's nothing that Balor does that's different than when he doesn't have the paint on. So the paint, how can you put the paint over if the paint does nothing to change the character? Zero. He does nothing different at all. And even when you had like the Great Muta, I remember when Great Muta was in New Japan, his real name, he was Kijimoto without the paint. And as soon as he put the paint and he started wearing a mask as well, soon as he started putting the paint and the mask on and became the Great Muta, it was a whole different type of feel to him. His moveset was different.
Yeah.
His cadences were different. It was just a lot of different things going on with the Great Muta that really didn't do much with Finn Balor. So that's the big thing with that. So let's take a call right now. We may take another call, but let's just take one call. Let us know your name, where you're from, and your thoughts real quick. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, TYS from Santa Rosa, California.
Hello. Wow. Nice to meet you, TYS from San Diego?
Santa Rosa. It's by San Francisco.
Santa Rosa, you get one of these. All right, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Did you guys talk about the cast situation, the surgery coming up.
Yeah.
The unfortunate.
The torn meniscus looks like he'll be out almost a year. I think I saw Money in the Bank, around Money in the Bank. So that's
that's quite unfortunate. I don't think the push was going so well anyway, but maybe it's a blessing in disguise, but it's kind of a pretty long time, 9 months.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Any other thoughts?
Did you talk about Ric Flair?
Ric Flair's condition. What are your thoughts on Ric Flair?
My thoughts on him?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Ric Flair?
It sounds like he wants to get out of the hospital and things are getting a little bit better, but we don't know the full details, so it's kind of hard to say, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for joining the show, man.
All right, man. All right, and hopefully Kane returns after he becomes mayor.
Kane returns.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Mayor Kane.
Yeah, he'll be he'll really be corporate Kane at that point as well. So please don't bring my corporate Kane, though. All right, once again, PG Show, thanks for all the calls. We'll take one more. Your name and where you're from, what's your thoughts? Thanks for joining the show. What's your name and where you're from?
Hello?
What's your name and where you're from? Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, it's Ed from Detroit.
Hey, Ed, thanks for joining the show, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about a little bit of wrestling in the 80s when it was, mm-hmm. to me, when it was kind of at its heyday versus current day, and specifically focusing on like Hulk Hogan, who kind of became the face of wrestling, the face of WWE.
Yeah.
And I know there's some big, there's been some big names, from John Cena, to Stone Cold Steve Austin through the years. But when I look at wrestling in the 80s, it wasn't so much of all this, the stuff that's going on with the, how should I say, the drama and these storylines. You kind of got sucked into the character. And do you think that it's possible that maybe some of the wrestling that's on, SmackDown and Raw, what Vince McMahon's doing now, if he were to kind of change to like how the 80s was, as far as like getting a little more focused on the characters of the wrestling, that could maybe bring more of a fan base in? Or you just see some of the other factors like the UFC and whatnot that's kind of taken fans away from the sport? But I don't know. To me, it would seem more like the characters of wrestling you really got into in the 80s, specifically like your Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah, good thoughts, man. I appreciate the question. I think you have competition now, with UFC. Speaking of UFC, I just wrote a piece too long, about 20 minutes before I got on the show here, about John Jones suspended. He may be out for another policy violation. He may be out for almost up to four years now. So you can toss Jones and Lesnar UFC to the side. But Jones has shown that he has some WWE interest. So maybe we might get that. But as far as your question is concerned, I don't even think that the WWE is really – they don't really care as much as far as characters are concerned. Because I think the biggest thing is that they're looking to get – that's why they keep having all of these shows, because that brings in numbers as far as their network is concerned. So that's how they're plugging, their business, their network revenue. They'll inflate the numbers to make, the quarterly meetings, to make the stockholders, look like, who don't watch wrestling, take them for their word, just to have a bunch of them drop off, within weeks. So I don't think it's really necessarily the emphasis in the WWE to really build characters and create riveting storylines. I think it's just a numbers game nowadays, which is unfortunate for fans like us.
Yeah. When I grew up as a kid in the 80s, you relate to the Andre the Giant and the Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper. And, now granted there wasn't the internet, and, I understand about, the Divas are a big thing now. you know, and every, you know, all single adult males, most, I should say 90% of them, you know, in their 20s and 30s, love looking at some TNA while they're watching SmackDown and Raw. But I just feel that we should be looked a little bit upon what worked in the 80s. Maybe they could get a little bit at to try to make a better brand, you know, for the wrestling nowadays, what's going on, or I should say current day.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Thanks for your thoughts.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Evan, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I agree with this. The wrestling in the 80s, you know, people, like you mentioned even before the Russo, it's, we don't want to keep sounding like old times, but stuff was back in the day. It's just, the times change the way the business is. That's all. You know, it's, like you said, the 80s was more focused on character and people could talk into an arena, you know, where it was drawn on the character, that's what drew in. And, you know, wrestling and ring mattered, but it was mainly the character. Nowadays, it's a flip, like you so said, where it's all wrestling. You know, I mean, it's all athleticism in the ring. But you don't have a character, and if you don't have a character and don't have charisma, that's not going to hold you. It'll be a bunch of random people wrestling in the ring. The moves, of course, matters, but you got to have a character that makes the glue stick. So I agree for everything the caller said. You know, thanks, caller, for calling in, what you said, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to old school wrestling. You know, I still think, you know, that may be one thing that Russo and I have a slight difference with is that I still am a huge, or as Vince Russo would say, a huge fan of faces versus heels, man. I think it's still important. I think that's one of the reasons why the today's crowd has faltered so much, because it's not, you know, people don't want to just come to a wrestling show to just see like Greco-Roman as Jim Ross would say, catch as catch can, you know, wrestling. We're not there to see just a wrestling exhibition. You know, we can watch like a freestyle, you know, Olympic, you know, mat wrestling if we want to do that. What makes pro wrestling so different, you know, than other things? Because we know that it's fake. You know, we know that it's, you know, of course, people get hurt, as we unfortunately saw with Cass. You know, there's many elements of realness to it as far as the physicality is concerned, but it's, the characters are not real. You know, the outcomes are predetermined. But why do we watch it still? We watch it because it, I always say, it's a comic book come to life. It suspends reality. Yeah. And it's supposed to create that illusion. That's why, you know, the one short word for all that is called kayfabe. If kayfabe is dead in professional wrestling dies with it. Period, point blank. Because kayfabe is what professional wrestling needs to stay alive. Otherwise, we'd be delusional. We'd believe in we'd believe that a fake sport is real, which would make us delusional because it's not true. So, I think, you know, with the traditional wrestling, there were so many characters that were involved. We were being glued to characters, and I think that's one of the biggest things that really, you know, made people like you and I stay, you know, wrestling fans for decades, is because we saw so much. And I told somebody this before. I actually threw a SummerSlam party on Sunday, and there was a bunch of people that came that I didn't know that I got to know. I had someone next to me that didn't know who I was, and found out that I was Chris Featherstone of the Pancakes and Power Slam show, and he kind of marked out. I'm one of those guys that people come up to me and say that. I'm like, man, I'm not anybody special, but it's just, it was interesting. It was cool, but it was just weird to see someone mark out over me. I'm like, me? What?
Yeah.
but it's, you know, he addressed me, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, he started watching wrestling a few years ago, and he said that he went back and did like research and started like he went backwards. So he started watching wrestling a few years ago and went backwards to the Attitude Era. And I said, man, listen, I'm glad that you did that, because if I would have started watching wrestling right now, I would have stopped. You know, the period.
Yeah.
Right now. Right now is not a good time to start watching professional wrestling. A lot of people who watch professional wrestling have watched professional wrestling for quite some time. You know, and that's the biggest thing with professional wrestling, and I think that you can't lose that, man. You bring in a breed of new professional wrestlers based on, you know, it's one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. And it's sad to really live out, you know, the professional wrestling days nowadays, because it's just not the same as it used to be. And I thank God that I get paid for writing and thinking about wrestling now. But I'm a lifer because I'm a traditionalist, but it'll be tough to start right now.
You got to think, what will the four kids of today say in like 15, 20 years from now, when they're like 28, 30 years old? They can might be, they're not going to have stories. If you can say in the 80s, this was like this, or the 90s was great, even the early millennium, the aggression, ruthless aggression era.
Yeah.
What are kids going to say 25 years from now?
Yeah.
What are they going to say now? Yeah. I mean, granted, wrestling is, everything goes in cycles. And then we know how tough 94, 95 was, and 93. We know about those three dreadful years. You know, that the late 80s were great. You know, Horseman and Hogan and everything, the rise of Sting and the tag teams, the Road Warriors, the Hearts, and everything was just wonderful.
Yep.
The AWA and WCCW, the early 90s was still Hogan and Bret and Vader and, you know, the Fusion of Japan. 93, 94, 95 was just tough. But then once the Monday Night Wars started hitting with the NWO and Austin and The Rock and Black and White Sting and Goldberg and DX, from that point on, from I would even say 96 to about 2004, 2005-ish, it was a great time, even after Monday Night War.
Yeah.
But we can look back and remember, so he used to do this and that. What are kids going to say?
Now you get, all those series of matches between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. It's like,
bro,
that was legendary.
I had that written down right here, dimensions. How many times? We just saw Miz against Ambrose for like 48 times.
Man.
Now it's like every week, AJ and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Sad. On a good note, though, SmackDown was actually pretty good. It was cool to see Shelton Benjamin back. He looks jacked. I like him, and I like the pairing of him and Chad Gable. I think that's a good place to put Shelton Benjamin, and I think that actually gives an opportunity to perhaps win a tag team championship, because if they would have just put him as a mid-carder, just a mid-card, no one. Here's the thing. If they would just put him as just some type of mid-carder, that wouldn't have done anything. He would just kind of fell and, you know, kind of, I don't think he would have been as bad as Curt Hawkins, but he definitely wouldn't have been someone just, you know, really relevant. So
You got to say his name like Ric Flair. Shelton Benjamin.
Styles and Owens was good, but I'm so tired of seeing it. Seems like they're setting up Shane McMahon and Owens, which would be, you know, I'm interested in seeing that match. Seems like they're doing Corbin and AJ too. I'm okay with that too. And Usos and Shinsuke Nakamura, like I said before, like I was talking to Vince Russo, they show him way too many times. They're taking so much mystique away from him. And here's the thing, with Raw real quick, Cena and Reigns, it seems like they're doing that
Justice
probably
League.
Soon or maybe Survivor Series, but it seems like based on what I heard, they're doing Reigns and Cena, Reigns and Lesnar again for Mania, so that's cool. And it was, you know, and last but not least, as far as SmackDown's concerned, it became glorious, and I was happy to see that. Bobby Roode as a baby face, I was cool with that as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, play of the week was a viewer's choice, and got some people talking about as far as our thoughts on Ric Flair. So we'll talk about Ric Flair for literally like 90 seconds. Real quick, Evan, your thoughts on Ric Flair's health and how he can figure for his way out of this surgery and hospital.
The dirtiest little man, Space Mountain, is still alive. Space Mountain is just temporarily closed down. It's not permanently closed. We're glad that Flair is fine, and I know he has a long road to recovery.
Absolutely.
Glad Nature's okay.
Woo! Space Mountain. I'm so happy that surgery went well, and it's great to see that he is doing much better now, and my prayers are with him. I'm praying for the guy, man. Hope he kicks out, and I hope he learns. I hope this is a lesson learned, whatever he's doing, whatever he did to get him to this point. I really hope that he learns from it and just straighten himself up, man. You know, he's only got some few precious years left, prayerfully, and he needs to make the best out of it. So my thoughts and prayers goes with Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. And ladies and gentlemen,
Nature
that
boy.
Is a wrap. This is 282 episodes. Fantastic episode. It's the show with Vince Russo. Thank you, WrestleZone.com, Facebook Live. God bless you all. Have a good night. And bye-bye. Chris Featherstone, Evan Prout, signing off. God bless.